This season of the Good Up Podcast is sponsored by Empath Psychological Services. Good Up is our space to talk about those experiences in life we didn't know we all had in common. We're the after work happy hour conversation with your best friend.
You good up bad, like, hello.
The place where you bring up the hard parts of life, the ones that made you laugh, and the things that made you who you are. Because who said becoming good up wasn't a little bit uncomfortable? Stay tuned for more information about this week's episode.
Here at the Good Up Pod, we're all about shedding light on life experiences that have contributed to who we are and learning to navigate them to find a feeling that's, well, you know, good up.
For some of us, that journey includes therapy. Empath Psychological Services operates with the belief that life's challenges are not all of who we are.
They aim to create a non-judgmental environment to help their clients harness their own power and to find their path to mental well-being. Good Up and Empath Psychological Services share a passion for helping others navigate their own healing their way.
If you're interested in teletherapy services in the U.S. Virgin Islands or the state of Texas, check out the link in the description box for more information on how you can book a session with Empath Psychological Services. Welcome back to the Good Up Podcast. This is your host, aka all of the girls who've ever auditioned for a season of Flavor of Love, because today I'm a fucking mess.
And I am Barbie's arched foot that is arched even when she takes off her heel.
It was so perfect. Listen, if you haven't seen any of the Barbie trailers or the marketing surrounding this Barbie movie, first of all, by the time this episode comes out, Barbie will be like an iconic. And you guys will. Number one movie in the world. I could already see it. So
absolutely. Are you going to see it?
I am going to see it. Make sure you hoes go watch the Barbie movie. That shit gonna be lit.
Absolutely.
We're not sponsored by Barbie, but maybe we should be. I mean, sponsor everybody else. Make a brand deal with us. We'll promote your film.
I mean, yeah.
So with that being said, it is the week of August 8th. Deidre, what is happening in the stars? What are these whores doing? The stars aren't whores, but
I was about to say, I'm not going to sit here and let you disrespect these celestial bodies like this.
Okay. Disrespect to the celestial bodies.
Thank you.
But what going on with them?
So right now we are in the throes of Leo season. We're right in the middle of Leo season. You guys know by now that Venus is retrograde. Venus does not retrograde often. Her and Mars are the two planets who retrograde like every other year, as opposed to like every year, like the other planets. So Venus is going to be retrograde for another like month and a half. She's been retrograde since the 22nd of July, and people have been sending me content that other astrologers are making, and everybody's like, oh, it's gonna be such a scandal and exes are coming back and blase blase, and there's a little bit of truth to what everybody's saying, but everybody's fabricating things in some fashion or under hyping or over hyping or whatever the case may be. The chart that I'm looking at this moment for today, for August 8th, people are really leaning into acceptance of self-acceptance, right? Some people have for a while, especially since the pandemic. Between the pandemic and now, a lot of people have been really grappling with like self-acceptance, self-realization, self-actualization, like who am I? Some people are getting more comfortable allowing themselves to shine. Some people who have always been comfortable shining are kind of pulling back because they're probably realizing like the things that I thought mattered really don't. You know, some people are realizing that some of the like the version of themselves that they have been holding on to the most has been a bit of like a facade or like a character that they've created as a security blanket, if that makes sense. So right now we have a lot of fixed energy with the sun in Leo. That's a fixed sign. The moon is in Taurus, another fixed sign. We also have Venus, obviously, in Leo, still fixed. And we have Jupiter in Taurus as well. So there's a lot of squares going on right now. A square in astrology is the planets kind of just doing that, squaring up with each other. Like it's a little bit of tension. It's a little bit of hostility. What's up? We could do this right now. You want to fight? What's up? That's when you think about like human interaction and the planets interacting, the planets are kind of squaring up with each other right now. Specifically, the sun who rules ourselves, the personality that we grow into, you know, throughout our lives. The moon, who represents our inner world. The moon is exalted when she's in Taurus. So this is a really good time to cut the bullshit, right? And forget about like the boastful, dramatic, like outer image. Focus on what makes you feel whole on the inside. Focus on what makes you feel peace when you're at home, because the moon is exalted right now. That's going to be in a different house for everybody, obviously, right? For some people, that might be in your fifth house of like adventure and play. For others, that might be in your first house of self. But regardless, stay true to your inner world at this time. If you have been coming to terms with like, yo, this whole time I thought I was an extrovert, but I'm really an introvert, like I be getting drained as fuck, honor that. Just kind of live in that, embrace it. Mercury is in Virgo. Mercury is right at home in Virgo. So a lot of times, and we've talked about this before, where I'm like, you know, we shouldn't be intellectualizing our feelings and all that shit. Sometimes there's a good time to do that. And this is a good time to do it with Mercury being in Virgo, trining the moon who's in Taurus. So this is a good time to really analyze how you feel about things. If there's something new that you've been wanting to explore with your therapist, this is a good time to do that. If you've been thinking about getting a therapist, this is a good time to initiate that search. Mars is also in Virgo. So Mercury and Mars are in conjunction, which means that a lot of people are going to be level-headed at this time. A lot of people are going to be calculated at this time. A lot of people are going to be kind of thinking things through and not acting before moving. You know what I mean? Especially because, and to reference earlier where I was like, people are kind of learning how to accept themselves. The North Node entered Aries recently. And so that means the South Node is in Libra. The North and South Nodes spend about a year and a half in each respective sign. And with them being in Aries and Libra, right now, a lot of lessons surrounding being true to yourself and not losing yourself in connections are going to be prevalent. Because yeah. Aries rules the first house of self. And Libra rules the seventh house of one-to-one partnerships. And one-to-one partnerships is not just romantic partnerships. It's just agreements between you and another that hold weight in your life. So this is a really good time. This time that the North Node and South Nodes are, and South Node are in Aries and Libra, the next few new and full moons are going to be eclipses, and those are going to be in Aries and Libra. There's going to be a lot of themes surrounding self and your relationship with others, the version of yourself that you are alone and the version of yourself that you are when you're with, you're engaging in a one-on-one partnership. And it's really important to make sure that you are the same version in both of those connections, the connection with self and the connection with others. That was a mouthful, but that's what I'm getting right now. So with this, to wrap it all up, this Venus retrograde, I believe, from what I'm looking at, and I'm going to look at other charts, and you guys can follow my page for more content surrounding Venus retrograde, because I will be having specific content for that on my on my Instagram page. Venus retrograde is really getting us in line with our relationship to self, self-love specifically, because Venus does rule love and she rules harmony. But a lot of people always think of the love that she rules regarding everybody else, right? Venus does rule in our lives, like our capacity to hold space for others. However, in order to have that capacity, we need to be able to hold space for ourselves first. So keep that in mind. If you guys want a reading, if you want to know how all these things affect you specifically, then reach out to me. Book a reading. The link is in my bio, because this stuff is affecting us as a collective in the way that I just described, but it's going to look different for everybody. For me, a lot of this is affecting like my career, my trajectory, the legacy that I'm creating. For some of you, this might be affecting your relationship to your family. This might be affecting your relationship to your children. For others, this might affect their health. So book me if you want more tea on all of that. And thank you for listening.
Your money. Well, thank you for that.
You're most welcome.
I always enjoy listening to this, because I'm like, we recorded it in advance, so I love like looking forward to the episode to be like,
I want to air.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
it's kind of cool. So yeah, welcome back to the Good Up Motherfucking Podcast. Before we start the official episode topic, I want to point a plug here for our Patreon, aka the Good Up VIP section. And excuse the noise in the background, I live in Arizona and it's finally monsoon season, bitches. It rained for the first time in months. I'm so excited.
We can't hear it, so there's also that.
Yeah, it loud like shit, which is crazy. Yeah, so pointing a plug here for the Patreon, which is the official way to financially support the Good Up Podcast and get access to bonus content and all videos of our episodes. So if you want to become a Good Up VIP, go over to patreon.com/goodup podcast. We have a private Facebook group, Instagram group, all the things. So make sure, you know, you join the place to be, okay?
And this is where you...
In the beginning.
Yeah, this is also where you get access to the entire video episodes. Mm-hmm. You know, you can listen for the free on Apple and Spotify, but if you want to see the video footage, if you enjoy the facial expressions and mm-hmm. our reactions
to my cat's the beta background half the time, you can see that shit.
I stan Rue. If you guys want to see it, then you have to sign up for the Patreon, because that's where the video footage is. It's exclusive to our patrons. And shout out to y'all.
And the lowest tier is $1. So it's very affordable to join. All tiers get equal access to everything. It's just a matter of what you personally would like to contribute to the podcast.
Not us being equitable, period.
We're equitable like fuck. So with that being said, let's talk about the opposite of fucking equity. This week's episode is all about, and I can preface it with this. Weaponizing competence is the topic. Weaponizing competence can show up in a number of different places.
Yes.
But if you's a man, if you want a good up man them that'll listen to this episode, papa, I about to get dragged. I'm so sorry. I'll probably go get dragged. You're probably going to get dragged. Because we are women. And our life experiences are going to come to the forefront here. And I'm sorry, I don't see it a lot in a man name. So with that being said, we're gonna start with a definition first, though. Okay, me gonna hot up your heart space without telling you the truth about pie coming from, because again, I don't just tackle my ass. So the definition of weaponizing competence is a type of behavior where one person feigns being unable to perform a task well in order to get someone else to do it instead. Mm. So a lot of times, sometimes people, you know, they you ask them for help around the house and they say, well, I don't know if I'm going to do it right. You might do it better than me. And that's then right. They kind of force you to just be like, fuck it, I'll do it myself. That's happened. I've heard a lot of that, especially on the TikTok, on the Clock app. So
yeah, yo, the Clock app. Okay, can I just say, I genuinely believe, because you know they're referring to this era as like the great divorce or something like that. Divorce rates are skyrocketing. A lot of people are predicting,
go see why.
Yeah, a lot of, you know how there was like that baby boomer era where a lot of babies were born? A lot of people are predicting that this time period between pandemic and like maybe another 5 years from now, there's going to be the divorce rate is going to continue to rise, and it's going to be documented in history as like they're calling it the great divorce or something like that. Kind of like the Great Depression, if you will. But a lot of people are predicting that divorces are going to continue to rise, and the marriage rate, as a lot of people are saying, that as the divorce rates increase, the marriage rates are decreasing. And TikTok, I believe, is a big part of that, because a lot of people TikTok connected people in so many ways, and there were so many people who felt alone in their situations. And then as other people spoke up about what they were experiencing in their marriages, a lot of women were realizing that they have been bamboozled. But carry on.
Bamboozled and led the fuck astray. Well, that was going to be my question, is now that we have this definition of weaponized incompetence, where do you tend to see weaponized incompetence in your personal experience? Where does it come up, I guess, the most? I alluded to it. I don't know what my fucking answer gonna be, but for you, dude.
A lot of me personally, obviously I've never been married, and you know, I've spent a lot of time dragging my baby daddy on here. However, he was not difficult to live with because he was a very clean man. Like that's one of the things I can't really relate to, you know, how women complain about like how their partners don't help around the house with cleaning and things like that, helping with child rearing and things like that. I'm never, I feel bad, right? Because I genuinely can't relate because I didn't have that experience the one time I lived with a man.
That's a blessing.
I mean, I don't feel bad. I mean, you know, because where I had that blessing, I had a lot of other bullshit to deal with, right? But I didn't experience weaponized incompetence in that way. Like, he was very helpful around the house. He was very hands-on with Dylan. He was a good housemate, to say the least. I have seen it a lot in the workplace, though. Yeah, and I feel like men and women do it in the workplace, but men especially do it. And somehow still end up getting credit for the women on the team's work. But yeah, that's how I've experienced
it. I will say white people do that shit too. Like, that's another area of weaponizing. A lot of the places where weaponizing competence comes up tends to put the brunt of like the labor on oppressed people, whether it's, you know, women, yes, whether it's people of color, whether it's Black people specifically. Typically the people who are doing the whole weaponizing competence are people who know that
in a position of power,
they're in a position of power, and they know that using that weaponizing competence is going to result in somebody who is quote unquote inferior to them doing that work on their behalf. So yeah, you see it at work. I've experienced it at work where there are things that white coworkers are like, I don't really know how to do that, or can you do it for me? Or they just have all these
they blatantly ask you to do it for them.
I've had people ask me to do shit for them, or I've had people say, oh, I didn't get that done because I wasn't sure how to do it. Can you? And there's a lot of like re-explaining of how to do things, even though it was very clear in the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
You see it pop up there.
Yeah. You know what? I definitely agree. And even to go back to the workplace, I remember this was when I used to work at Starbucks, and there was this one kid who, I don't know if this is just his natural demeanor or if he just had the game figured out, right? But he was very chill in the way he spoke, just like this when taking anyone's order. So naturally, it would get irritating because I was a shift supervisor, and so I was responsible for making sure that like the baristas had specific like roles and tasks throughout the day. Like when you go to Starbucks, there's usually somebody dedicated to the register, somebody dedicated to like the warming station, somebody like on the bar. If it's a store with a drive-through, there's somebody at the drive-through, you know, et cetera, et cetera. For one, he'd never grasped the barista functions, so he never got put on bar, which I'm like, how did he even make it? Like, how did he not lose his job at some point? Because this was a store that I transferred to, so I came into this store being like, and it was being explained to me like, yeah, one of your baristas doesn't know bar, so we usually just put him on register. But he talks so slow, and the customers would get upset because he would just be taking so long.
How do you work somewhere and it's just this? And this is something I think is afforded to white men so easily.
To white men,
how do you work somewhere and it's just generally accepted that you don't know how to do something that's clearly a part of your job? And people, they say, "Well, such and such doesn't know how to do it, so we just give him something." No,
exactly. He needs to learn how to do that. Learn how to do it. And that's the attitude I had. Okay, so when are we gonna make sure he gets retrained? Like, I came in like, okay, so when are we gonna retrain this dude? Like, when they never would put him on the bar. Eventually though, and I will give it to them, the store manager at that store was on maternity leave, so the acting, like, they had like an ASM from a different store filling in for her until she got back. And so by the time she got back, she started to enforce his training or whatever, but she was still on maternity leave when I came. But I just remember being like, so we just not going to train them? Like, we're going to just keep putting them on register? Another thing is, like, there's an expectation, especially when it's not super busy, for whoever's on register to be able to do the register and the warming station at the same time, right? That's outside of peak. He couldn't manage both. He always needed support in some way. So that was irritating. And I genuinely, I'm like, is this weaponized incompetence? Like, is he just pretending to be so, you know? This is what really sent me was one time I'd asked him to move. I had just made a whole bunch of like backups. And at Starbucks, backups is basically, you know, all the syrups and flavorings and all that shit, the mocha sauce, the chai, the lemonade, all that stuff. Usually there's a shift supervisor in the back making all that stuff to stock the front with, so that when the baristas run out of what they're currently working with, they could get rid of the empty container. There's a fresh batch of it right below them in like a cupboard or something, right? Mm-hmm. And especially at a store that's busy, like a store with a drive-thru, for instance, I had just made a whole bunch of backups. Okay. I asked him to move them from the back of the house to like the backup cupboard. And he was trying to be resourceful or trying to save time. He put all the different containers in like this, like flat crate, like a lug, with the intention to carry it, but it wasn't stable enough. And he dropped the whole thing. So I didn't hear the crash or anything, but I came in the back to do something and I saw him trying to clean up all the chai and mocha sauce and all the stuff off the floor. And I was like, I got it. Just go back to the front. So yeah, you know, I've only
it does show up at work a lot. And without telling this person business, I've definitely had a coworker who, when I first started working with them, my tolerance level for this person went down to like zero because of weaponizing competence.
Yeah.
And a part of it was this person's age and like level of experience. And it was their first like big people job. That's why they call it like your first big people job. So you're adjusting to a lot of things that you previously would like get away with in like a college setting or an internship where in your first big people job, everybody's like, no, you gotta do that shit. Like,
yeah, you gotta figure it out.
There were a lot of things where like he would realize, you know how sometimes it's not very clear on your job description that something is a part of your job.
Yeah.
And then you get to work and you just start to see all these little things that are like, oh, this is actually you too. He would be like, well, this wasn't on my job description and I don't know how to do this and da, 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 da. And he would just stick with that. Like, this wasn't on my job description. I don't know how to do this. But it's things that like, it's a pressing matter. It's something that needs to get done. So either you do it or one of us going to end up doing it. So it would be like that, where like he would kind of focus on the fact that he felt like he didn't know how to do this thing. And we would be like, okay, how can we support you to do it? Like, how can we help you? Right. Cause we don't just be like, oh, we'll figure that shit out. We were trying to help him, right? But then we would look up and we doing like hella labor, right? Doing a lot of like support and coverage over and over and over. And I will say, to give this person credit, it's been a few years. When I say he get his shit together, he get his shit together. Like, I'm so proud of this person. But I was like,
it was bad.
Are you going to just continue saying that you don't know how to do this thing until someone else just gets fed up and picks it up for you and does it? And that's, I mean, that's how weaponizing competence works. So on TikTok, and I'm glad you bring up TikTok, there are so many videos, right? And the home cleaning videos is what'll piss me off the most. What I'm about to talk about is the reason for the name of this episode. The name of this episode is Girl Stand Up, because girl, stand the fuck up.
Like, bro, I don't be seeing some of the shit and I'm like, that man don't like, respect, or even love you. Why are you there?
The first video that comes to mind, because kids do the weaponizing competent shit too. I will say that, right? Kids get to an age where they fully know how to do something. And because so used to their parents doing it for them, especially their moms. Yeah. And I used to be one of those children. They'll be like, well, I don't know how to do that, mommy. You don't do it better than me. Like, and you leave the labor on your mom. So the video that come into mind is this woman posted a TikTok video where she was like, I guess like panning across her kitchen, right? And there were dishes piled up in a sink.
Oh my God.
It had dishes everywhere on a counter. It had pizza boxes. Like, the kitchen had looked like a war zone. The living room, it has shit everywhere. And it wasn't on some like hoarder shit. It was just very clearly like, the house has gone a number of days without anybody touching anything. Apparently, she was a nurse. So she was working these like extended shifts. You know how nurses in hospitals, like they have
working long hours.
So in the caption, she said that like she had like a 5-day like back to back of walking long hours and like nobody in the house touched anything. Nobody cooked, nobody washed dishes, nobody cleaned up anything. She was like, I have a husband and multiple kids and all of my kids are like older kids. They're not babies. They're older kids who can fend for themselves, right?
Wow.
And a part of me felt a lot of empathy for her because I was like, damn, your family does not give a single fuck about you, dog. Like, they do not care. Jesus. But a part of me were like, if you don't put your fucking foot, like, what are we supposed to do?
I'm cussing everybody involved. I cussing everybody getting smoke.
I ain't even cussing. I packing my shit. Listen, and my mother used to say this all the time, that sometimes we used to make her want pack her shit and just leave.
Honestly, that shit is so real, because I've had those feelings. Even like, mind you, Dylan is an easy kid. He's a good kid, but sometimes I don't want to come home, right? And it's not even off of nothing that he's done. So imagine, as a parent with a child who is helpful and stuff, you don't want to come home sometimes. Yep. You got a gang of big ass kids. You got a husband.
Yeah.
And these motherfuckers ain't helping in the house. Yeah, she needs
ain't helping at all. And it's so
that's
and
really
I don't
sad.
Want to sound like I victim blaming, but for me, it's like in those situations where we're seeing these videos of women posting like your dirty kitchen and your kids don't clean up, or where women are talking about, oh, my the laundry basket will be right there and he'll drop the clothes. And that's another thing that I don't see a lot. The laundry basket will be right there, they'll drop the clothes in front of it. Or,
you know, I've always wondered about that, because I see that a lot and I'm like, so are you going to enforce something? Like, what are you going to do about it? Like, because it's very disrespectful that he's doing that, but how are you going to make sure that you're not expected to pick up his shit? Like, how do you guys...
is when I was saying that I used to walk around saying that fuck makes sense, I used to get on my ass for how I used to talk to this man. But ask me if shit around this house don't be making sense no more, is all I'm gonna say.
You know what, period. And that's what's like, I'm like, I don't understand, like, these, like, first of all, we have to be, and somebody brought that, I wish I could remember where I heard this, but somebody mentioned this in like some video I was watching and I was like, it makes a lot of sense, and so now something has to be done about it. They were pretty much saying, like, us millennials, we grew up at a time where this was post-feminism. So we were being raised by mothers who were both working and taking care of the domestic labor, right? Their mothers, I mean, this is not a thing in the Black community, obviously, because Black women have always been laborers. But essentially, because this is something that we're seeing, especially with white women on TikTok, where they're talking about their husbands leaving their fucking drawers right next to the hamper, right? These women were raised by mothers who grew up in a post-feminism world where the mothers felt this pressure to still perform their duties as a wife and stay-at-home mom or whatever, right? A homemaker, if you will, and still take a job, because they said during the feminist movement that they could do it all. So these men who won't put their fucking clothes in the hamper, they had a mom who went to work and still came home and did all the work. And the dad was never brought into the process of cleaning, right? The domestic labor still fell on his mother. So now he's coming into the world expecting the same of his partner. And his partner is like, absolutely not. Like, and as she should, let's be clear, because, and I've said this before, I feel like I said this on like an old YouTube video that I made, the missing link in the feminist movement was including men. And when I say that, I mean, they never really included men who should stay at home to be the fucking stay-at-home parent.
And it was a lot of the feminist conversations where, here are all the things you're doing wrong, and not enough of, here is what you should actually be doing to play an active part to work against like the misogynistic lifestyles that we're used to. Like, it's not that we want you to come home. And it's not to say that like you have to be a stay-at-home dad. Sometimes it's enough of like, the way that you are conditioned is not to play an active partner in parenting, is not to play an active partner in the management of a household. Like, you are conditioned to be this way, so here is how you work against it. It wasn't those conversations.
Yeah, none of that happened. It was just like, women should be able to be in the workforce too. And I'm, you know, so with that, it's like, so now these men are losing their shit, honestly, because they really genuinely believe that they should be able to just go to work and come home and drink their beer and do whatever they do in the house and have a wife who also goes to work the same amount of hours as them, if not more, because I bet you that nurse works a lot more hours than her husband.
Yeah, if he's been at home, you know, with the kids, or he's had more time at home. And I think that's my whole thing, is just like, mental labor goes into this. And we talked about it briefly when we were talking about people pleasing in the people pleasing episode, where me and my husband have had a lot of back and forth when it comes to like mental labor, right? Where it's like, oh, well, I do clean, I do cook, so where's this expectation coming from? Why do you want more? And where I was coming from was like, but you don't think about XYZ. Like, there's a lot of other things that, and even with him, right? It's the switch has flipped at times, where sometimes in my head, I tell myself, because I am not the person who cooks, I don't necessarily have to go grocery shopping, or I don't have to think about like, what are we going to eat today? Because I'm usually not the person who cooks, and I leave that entirely to him. Where it's, yeah, like, well, sometimes I could think about like, okay, well, what would I like, right, today? You know, I could be helpful. So that'll come to play in a lot of other situations, right? In some people's households, like the husband does like nothing at all. Yeah, like,
that's wild.
And the reason they think nothing is fine is because in their mind, and like you said, like, in their minds, they are the quote unquote breadwinners, or they're bringing this money home. But you have to ask yourself, like, is that the reality in 2023? Right. Like, are you actually the breadwinner just because you might make more money? But are you the breadwinner if your wife is also going to work? And exactly, if she's going to work on coming home at the same time as you, but the expectation is that she cooking, she cleaning, she taking care of the kids. What the fuck are you doing? Like,
what
is
are
that
you
even
doing? It's exactly, because her 40 hours at work is just the same as your 40 hours.
Yeah.
So how are you more exhausted than she is? How are you more exhausted? And you're supposed to be bigger and stronger than her. So, but right? They said that men are bigger and stronger than us, but yet they go to work and that's enough. And mm-hmm. they come home and their wife also goes to work, and their wife still comes home and has to cook, clean, chase, you know, the big head ass children around. And it's like, where are we getting this extra reserve of energy from that they don't have access to? Because
you know where else I see it? In like the things that they remember, the things that they memorize, yes, right? I just watched this video the other day of like, I don't want to say dozens, it was maybe a couple, like five or six different couples being interviewed, and they were asking the male partners specifically, when is your girlfriend's birthday? What's her middle name? What's her parents' name? They couldn't answer none of the fucking questions, Deidre.
What?
None. If it was seven couples, maybe six of them did not know their girlfriend's birthdays, did not know her middle name, did not. It was so funny because I run in the room, I said, Stephen, when's my birthday? And he was like, April 8th. Like,
that's what I want to know if them people still live together.
I hope not, but that goes back to what we're talking about in this episode. At what point do women see all of this, right? You are with this partner who doesn't help you clean. You are with this partner who not only doesn't help you clean the house, not only doesn't help you do XYZ, doesn't care enough to try. Tells you that, oh, you don't do it better, or oh, that's something you don't handle. Doesn't even care enough to remember your fucking birthday, plan dates. That's another thing. Not planning dates is something that I hear from women a lot, where like their partners don't take initiative to handle like the romance aspect, because that's a feminine, like that's a woman thing that's to handle, crazy, right? Knowing all of this, at what point do you tell yourself, I am dating a fucking bozo, and leave?
Yeah, that's what sends me. It's when are you gonna, like you said, stand up? When are you gonna stand up? Yeah, because, gosh, and this, listen, shout out to my therapist for just getting this in my head. You can't make anybody do anything. So you can't make that man put his clothes in the hamper. You can't make that man plan dates. You can't make him do anything. But what you can do is go find a man who will do those things, who's already capable of doing those things and willing to do those things. Or you could just go be by yourself for a little while.
Like, spending the majority of the time cleaning up behind another person who doesn't care to clean up behind themselves, and the other option is being single and just having to clean for you.
I was just going to say, and that's, I always laugh because it's usually the women who are in those situations, right? With husbands who don't know where the hamper is, who use singleness as an insult toward women that they don't like, right? Oh, that's why she can't keep a man, blase, blase. But I guarantee you, that woman who can't keep a man, she know exactly the state that her home is going to be in when she comes home.
Like, it's, if keeping a man is slavery,
I don't want, why would I want to just be an indentured servant? Like you are literally a maid. Like, and that's the real tea, because a lot of these men, like you always do,
in your maid outfit, you are maid. Stand up.
I'm sorry, Jocelyn Hernandez is doing the most right now. She's a fucking problematic mess. But I used to.
She's funny, though, man.
I love that bitch. Anyway, the point that I was making is a lot of these men don't even really want a partner. They want somebody to to clean up after them. They want somebody. Obviously, not all. I don't want to offend anybody. But a lot of these men, they don't want to be somebody's partner. They want somebody to take care of the shit they don't want to do. They want somebody who's going to do the cooking, do the cleaning, do the domestic labor. They're looking for a free maid. Okay. So y'all can do with that what you want. But
it's so disappointing to watch, though, especially with women who are like working these difficult careers and doing all of this stuff. And y'all are coming on TikTok. That's a out of path of it. One, I am making marriage look really bad. Two, marriage reputation is in the fucking gutter right now. And I ain't even mad. Like, if somebody tells me, oh, what's the point in getting married? Knowing what I know, knowing that I have benefited a lot from a partner who is introspective and who has been able to like work with me through a lot of these things, and like we've found a lot of middle ground in our relationship. Yeah. Even with the amount of joy and like happiness I have in my marriage, I would not recommend marriage to another person.
Yeah.
Because I know that my man ain't these man. I know for a fact that my man is not these man. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't see the benefit for other women coming up, because we're still having to work. We're still having to do all of this labor. And then I coming home and having to like clean up around our toilet because he can't aim in a bowl. Like, are you serious?
Right. I didn't even realize how bad of a problem that was. Like, we were talking about that when you were here. Like, those are things that I didn't experience. Like, living with Dylan's dad, like, he used to pee in the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't remember. I never had to like wipe pee from the back of my toilet on the walls and shit. Like, I just feel like, honestly, I just feel like these men don't like Ayo and they tormenting y'all, to be honest. Like,
can we talk about it though? Because thinking about that whole like, I don't know your body, I don't know this, I don't know that, a lot of women tell themselves like, oh well, my husband says he loves me, he loves me. And I want y'all to know that somebody can love you and not like you.
Yes.
Somebody can love you and not like you. That includes your parents. That includes your family members. That includes your partner.
Yeah.
They could love the fuck out of you. They could have all the sex in a wall, because sex is a completely different thing. Okay.
Let's also, just to be clear, and I don't care how this makes me sound, these niggas will fuck anything.
Truly.
They will fuck anything and anybody. So truly. Sex, I feel like I really want to see us just take sex out of the equation when we discuss why a man likes us or loves us. Sex is not a factor. These niggas will fuck anything.
It's not.
I need to clean up my language. But these men will fuck whatever is available to fuck. So take that out of the equation. Mm-hmm. Carry
don't,
on.
Don't even count that. But what I'm don't saying is it. That like they could tell you all the flowery things in the world, but when somebody does not like you, it's very obvious that they do not like you. So you're let's say you're in a relationship with somebody who loves you, right? And you have good times, you laugh together, you go on the occasional date, but they never plan the dates. You live together, you have a house together, you've created this life, but the person who helps to plan that life, who makes sure that the house has everything it needs, who grocery shops, who cooks, who cleans, is you. So you in this relationship with this person that you're so in love with, but do they actually like you enough to make your life convenient?
Make it easier, things
to make your life easier, right?
Because I don't know how these men could say that they like and love y'all and they just watching y'all suffer and struggle. They're just okay with y'all just being tired and burdened with every single responsibility. Because even like, this is a random example, but I used to watch Real Housewives of Potomac. Monique Samuels is obviously married to a rich man.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like a quintessential like mom and stay-at-home wife or stay-at-home mom, whatever, right? She's a housewife. But I remember one night her and her husband were like sitting like on their patio talking, and she was just venting about how tired she was and she had so much to do. And, you know, because he's working and stuff. So he's like, so why are you doing all that? And she's like, well, I have to. Like, who's going to do it if I don't do it? He's like, hire somebody to do that shit. He was like, why you think I'm making all this money for you to be tired? He was like, hire somebody to do some of that shit. You don't have to do all of that. And I'm like, that's a nigga who actually likes his woman. Because he's like, girl,
mind you, he didn't say I'll do it. He said
I'll hire
the money.
Yeah, because for him, he was like, he's too busy. You know, he's like, I'm at work all day. When I come home, I want to hang out with you and the kids. I don't want to be doing this shit. You shouldn't be doing all this work. Take what the fuck I'm making all this money for if you tired. Take your ass and hire some. And I was like, period.
Yeah.
Period. Like, if your man had like you, he would not be okay with you just doing all this shit and being tired and drained and beat up. Like, what?
It's as simple as that. Like, if you are in a partnership, if both of you are working, then the amount of labor you put into your shared household, into your relationship, should look somewhat similar. It's not going to be equal. It's not going to be split down the middle because that's just unrealistic. But, for example, today, I was telling Steven yesterday, I decided that I don't want to like try to clean the house or do laundry and shit like that on weekends, right? I work remotely on Mondays. I'm going to try to do it on a Monday because I would much rather do all of my work during the week. Yeah. And on weekends, I don't want to do shit. I want to sit in my clean ass house and enjoy the fact that it's clean, right?
Yeah.
So today, my plan was get up, start laundry. I start one load of laundry. The minute I sit down to my computer and I started doing work, I got overwhelmed because I had a bunch of shit to do at work. Everybody was like emailing me all that stuff. I look to my right or my left. I look out the door and Stephen walking past the door with the rest of the laundry baskets and starting the rest of the loads of laundry, right?
Yeah.
And it's simple things like that. Like he, you know, will forget to do something or he isn't able to do it. I'll pick up where he left off. I won't be able to do something. He'll pick up where I left off. Exactly. Versus seeing that something is undone in the house and being like, oh, well, that is my responsibility or I don't know how to do it. Right. So that person will just have to do it. Like, I don't think about, and it'll blow my mind. I constantly thinking about what is going to make his life easier. And he, you could tell he has that similar thought process of, if I go on a trip, right? He knows that I love coming back to a clean house. So even if I don't get to do the whole deep cleaning before I leave on a trip, I know for a fact that he knows that about me. And he tries to make sure that I get that when I come home. So when I come home, my house will be clean. Laundry done, floor mop, like deep cleaned because he knows I love coming home to a clean house.
Yeah.
Imagine if you went on a trip, you've been gone for a week, 2 weeks, and your partner was home the entire time and you come home and ain't shit get done to the
and
house
nothing
because
got
you
done.
Wasn't there to do it.
Like, right. That's so crazy. This man does not see you as a person. He sees you as a slave. Like, I'm sorry. I just can't see anything outside of this person just sees you as a utility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because even when I think of my best friend, Anna, hey, Anna, mind you, Anna's a stay-at-home mom. She works now, like she works from home and stuff. But her husband would go to work all day and then still come home and help her with them children.
Mm-hmm.
And he's either making dinner or he's got the kids while she's making dinner and he's handling bath time. He's hands on. I'm like, this is a person. And you know why? Because he actually likes his wife. Mm-hmm. And he wants her to be comfortable. And he also understands how much she does for their family. And he respects it and he's grateful for it. He knows that his children are safe every time he leaves for work because they with their mama. Like,
I get infuriated by that dynamic. I think mostly because it hits home so hard for me, right? For the first couple of years of my life, my parents were still married, right? And I remember it didn't click to me how much work my mom was doing when I was a child until I got older and I was like, I would have beat that man over his head with a shovel. Like, I love my father to death. But again, I've said it before on the podcast. My father now, very much different from my father back then. Yeah. He and my mom were both working. At one point, my father retired before my mother and they were still married. Mm-hmm. My mother was a law enforcement officer, would work all day, come home. And this is a job that requires a lot of labor. Come home and she had to cook every night. Okay. Every night he expected a home cooked meal, right? My mother had four children. So you're cooking for your husband. You're cooking for all of your kids, right? My mother was the only person I ever saw cleaning that house. My father would do the yard labor and shit. Sure. But the only person I ever see put a broom down in a house or a mop was my mother, right?
And that's what offend me, because they don't even be like, oh, well, we take out the trash. We do the yard work. The yard work is about once a week, twice a month.
And his whole thing was like, oh, he'll pay the majority of their bills, all of that stuff. But my mom's paycheck still went towards household expense. If the kids needed anything, it was coming out of my mother's check. Like, it was not expected to come out of his. And then she would cook to add insult to injury. She would be cooking. I would remember my father being in the master bedroom, right? He wouldn't even get up to walk out to the kitchen to get his plate, you know? My mother used to serve them on his plate and either walk it to him in the bedroom or hand it to one of us and be like, go take your father his food. He would not even get up from watching TV to come out to the kitchen to get he food. When I say I don't, it'll be funny. We'd joke about like, oh, when we get in a new stepfather with my mother, and you should see the look on her face. I honestly think my mother would rather jump off a cliff than to ever have a man in her house again.
I believe it. I don't blame her
because I'm like, and it's funny too, going on a long ass rant, but I remember after they got divorced, staying weekends with my father, and the only person who would like comb my hair would be like his, she's now my stepmother, but at the time she was like his new girlfriend, right? She would be the person to comb my hair and like make sure I was dressed and all of that stuff, right? The few times my father ever attempted to comb my hair, it seemed like such a foreign concept to him. And I'm like, but I'm your child.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
I ain't blaming my mother because that was a very bad time.
No, I mean, she was conditioned to be that way. Like, all of them are raised to, they're raised to see men. They're raised to serve men, you know? And that's why we're in the predicament we're in now. And we got all these dudes living in their soft girl era because we got like, first of all, don't even get me started on Keke Palmer and her dependent. Like, we got these men who really want to live up. They really want patriarchy. And that's the other thing, because at the end of the day, this is how men benefit from the patriarchy. Mm. You know what I mean? And so they want to enjoy that, but they still expect women to go to work and contribute to the expenses. And it's like, sir, at least the men back in the day was actual providers, right? Like, you want to be the head of household so bad, but you want this woman catering to you, but you ain't even paying these bills the way you're supposed to. Like,
yeah.
What's going on here? Like, it's just weird. It's real dangerous out here. And I'm like, I'd rather be by myself.
Honestly.
If that's what having a partnership looks like, then it's not for me. Like, yeah.
So, I mean, and it goes back to the boundary setting conversation, because for people, I know Fafa, we come in from an angle of like, girl, get the fuck up, because I've never been someone to not dish tough love. And the reality of it is, I feel the only way to navigate weaponized incompetence, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's in your friendships, because people weaponize incompetence in friendships too. You have friends in your life who are constantly asking you for favors and claiming they don't know how to do shit themselves. And because you happen to have that skill or you're better at something, they consistently expect you to perform that labor for them instead of just learning how to do it for themselves.
Yeah.
So the only way to really navigate that and kind of get out of the habit is to set a boundary. Either you're ending that relationship or you are setting a clear boundary of, if you don't learn how to do this shit on your own, I'm not doing it for you. It's not happening. Yeah. Parents do it with their kids all the time. There's always a point in that parent-child relationship where, like, I remember the point in time where my mother said, I'm not combing your hair before school anymore. You're at that age. You need to learn how to comb your hair. And did I go to school with a simple ass bun and ponytail for a couple of years? I sure did. Because I wasn't there yet. Or the cooking thing or the laundry thing. I remember those points in time where my mom was like, hey, I'm not doing it anymore. This is the point in time where you are getting old enough to do this on your own. So if you in a relationship and your partner is not performing at that labor that they're supposed to be doing, at what point do you stop and say like, hey, bitch, if you don't wash dishes, guess what? Dishes don't get washed. Like, I don't know.
Exactly.
What else to tell you.
Exactly.
Don't call him a bitch, but
or do, you know. don't call your husband a bitch.
Yeah. Find healthier language. But
that's true. Yeah, because we're trying to be productive or whatever. We're trying to be self-aware.
Like, you know what? Call him. Maybe you should call him a bitch.
Call his ass a motherfucking bitch. Sitting around like a little bitch not doing nothing.
But you gotta set your boundary. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
What advice do you have for the girls besides states?
Thank you. Cause you know that's what I was gonna say. For one, I'm trying really hard not to just, because all I can think of is just stay alone. But ask yourself how you're benefiting from this dynamic with whomever is doing the weaponized incompetence. How are you benefiting from this circumstance? Like,
and don't say dick.
Please don't say, first of all,
don't say dick. Ain't no dick in this world that good.
It's no dick that's worth that kind of bullshit. Listen, you could be, let me tell you what you can do. You can be single. Never mind. Because I was going to say something real trifling.
No, but you could be single and still get the benefits. You could be single and have some appointments.
You could just be single and you could have a clean house. Okay. If you want, listen, the way I see it is if you have to do everything as it is and you don't have help, what's the point in having that person around? They're dead weight. On some real shit, the whole point of partnership is so that you don't have to do this important thing alone. So if you have this person here and you still doing it alone, why are they there? For some dick? Girl, bye. Bye.
Ain't enough dick in the wall. Also, stop posting that shit on stop going on Twitter and TikTok and Facebook and telling us how shitty your husband and your kids are. We can't help you. If you don't start knocking some shit off the walls, if you don't start throwing some shoes, bitch, stand up. We can't help you unless you help yourself.
And you know what irritates me more than anything is when these people post these things and then when people are eating their fucking families up in the comments, then they're like,
anything about marriage.
You don't know what we have going on here. Well, bitch, you posted it. Didn't nobody ask you if your man be cleaning?
It'll be funny because I think they assume that they're going to get empathy and what they get is like women being like, hey, so you don't have to live like that. Slavery ended. You stand the fuck up. Like,
and your ancestors weren't even slaves, babe.
And I think they also expect other women who are in those situations to be like, oh my God, my husband.
My husband too.
My husband don't boo. He's great. He
knows
how to mop floors.
Right. The thing is they get all of that. They get all of that. Let's be clear. They do get other women who empathize with them, who are like, dude, my husband too. I thought it was just me. They get the women who are like, girl, stand the fuck up. My man don't do that shit. And then they get the bitches like me that's like, what's the point in having one if that's the life you live in? Right. But because they're not simply getting that one group of people who are sympathizing and empathizing with them, then now they're like, hey, you guys don't know what's going on over here. I have a great husband. Well, if you have a great husband, why do you want to internet complaining about pizza boxes and dishes everywhere?
If you have a great husband, why can't you see your garbage disposal at the bottom of your sink, sis?
Oop. And it's not even
if you have a great husband, why is he trying to aim towards the laundry basket but not making it and then walk it onto the room?
Because I believe wholeheartedly that these men just don't like these women and this is their way of sticking it.
They don't. And then they don't have enough like to go to their boys and be like, my wife always nagging me. My wife always that. Your wife bitching because you giving she reason to bitch. I'm sorry. Women don't be out here just for no reason. You're causing it.
You're causing it. And this also applies to those women who are in these long-term commitments with men. You clearly want marriage. He has no intention on marrying you. I know you train what and you going on the internet and you bringing all these strangers into it. And then when those strangers say, babe, that man don't fucking see it for you, find a new one. You don't know what's going on over here. We have a great relationship. Don't talk about stuff that you don't know. Well, bitch, maybe don't come complaining to us because your man ain't finna marry you. He don't want to be your husband. He's waiting until his dream girl comes along. And but you mad at us.
Yeah.
You're mad at us when you need to just leave that man.
Once you post, especially relationships, once you post the details, I'm not going to say your relationship because posting a man is one thing, but posting the intimate, like the going ons, whatever, of what happens in your relationship on the internet, you need to expect commentary. Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're going to agree with it, but you need to expect it because the minute you stood there in your dirty ass kitchen and took a video instead of walking in a room and dragging a man out in your front yard by he polo shirt, okay?
Yeah,
the minute you're supposed to do that, you open that up for me to say, sis, stand the fuck up.
Stand up.
And if you don't like for me to say it, then don't post that shit. Suffer in silence and leave the rest of us out of it, okay? Nobody wants to know more about your miserable ass marriage, but you keep telling us about it, so we make podcast episodes about it.
Exactly.
And with that being
here we are.
We have to wrap up the episode now because we have a guest waiting and we love Shebad. So we're going to see Ayo next week, right? I want Ayo to DM us. I don't be DMing us when I tell you to, but that's fine. If you've been in a situation where you were down on your knees for an incompetent partner, I want to hear the story and I want to hear why you accepted the bullshit that you accepted. Okay. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm not going to drag you. I just saying I want to know your business. So DM us at GoodUpPod. Again, find us on Patreon, patreon.com/GoodUpPodcast. And shout out to our patrons and our sponsors and everybody who supports the show. With that being said, don't be an incompetent bitch and don't accept one either. Deidre, tell the people and bye.
Bye.
This season of the Good Up Podcast is sponsored by Empath Psychological Services. The Good Up Podcast is Black woman hosted and produced by Deidre Ritter and Heiza Quinones Ivory. Find us on all social media platforms at Good Up Pod. Tag us using the hashtag Good Up Tuesday and join the VIP section over on Patreon for exclusive bonus content at patreon.com/GoodUpPodcast.